Ladies and gentlemen, you know what that sound means. It means it's episode 183 of the Personal Arrogance Podcast, brought to you by the Bald Move Network. I am one of your hosts. My name is Eric the Dog Wahlquist. And joining me this week, as he does each and every week, is the other host of the show. His name is...
I'm Jesse. I actually forgot. I still have the human up here, which is apropos.
It's apropos, because I've started watching Adventure Time, so now Eric the Dog and Jesse the Human.
Exactly. What do you think of it?
Oh my god, so good.
Isn't it fun?
It's so good. Like, it's just a shower of happiness.
Right.
And, you know, I watched that Bronies documentary that you had talked about, and we had talked about on here a while back. And I kind of got the same vibe that you got from it. It was just like, you know, these people are just like, they're looking for friends, and they found friends through the show, and that's not necessarily a terrible thing at all.
I'm cool with Bronies now.
Yeah, and I was like, well, you know, it's on Netflix. Maybe I'll, just out of curiosity, I'll check out Friendship is Magic and see what all the hullabaloo is about.
Oh, yeah? You're a Brony now?
I got about 7 minutes in.
What's your cutie mark?
I did like the Apple family. I thought they were funny.
Mine's a overflowing mug of beer.
Love it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got about 7 minutes in, and then I was like, Adventure Time's on here, and now I'm on episode 20 of Adventure Time.
Yeah, that's the superior show for sure.
So I think I'm an Adventure Tony.
I think that's a more mainstream segment of the population.
I just love it so much. I mean, it's such a good show. I can't recommend it enough.
It's real easy to watch, too.
Super easy to watch. And, like, I was watching it, and then my wife comes in, and she goes, oh, Adventure Time. And I was like, wait, you watch this? And she's like, yeah, dude, I work with kids. Like, I watch it all the time.
Yeah.
This is, like, what children are being raised on. So, and
yeah,
I'm okay with it.
I've stopped watching it with Russell Nisha around, because sometimes it gets a little scary.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I actually, we have a scared child story.
Uh-oh.
But I'm going to save that
scared
for a little.
Straight, I hope.
I hope so. But we'll save that for a little later in the show. Jesse, how was your week?
Pretty good. I just booked a hotel room for Victoria, Canada in September, so I'm pretty excited about that.
I love Victoria. That's like one of my favorite cities in the world.
I haven't been there since we went there in band.
Right. Marching band.
In high school.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to go back and relive it as an adult.
It's going to come as a big surprise that Jesse and I were in marching band in high school. that was the fateful trip where the car ran over your longboard.
Right, yeah.
So.
That was the most eventful, that's the word I was going for, part. We also watched The Matrix 2.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And I was so excited. I was so into The Matrix 2 before it came out.
Yeah.
And then I watched it and I was like, it was good.
I'm going there for, it's the same weekend as the Great Canadian Beer Festival.
Oh, nice.
But the Great Canadian Beer Festival has a website that's straight out of the 90s, and they don't include basically any information on it, including whether or not you can take kids. So I don't know if I'll go to the beer festival or not, but I'm still excited to go to the great city.
Well, there you go. And I actually got to play test my board game for the first time this week, which went better than I thought it would, honestly.
Yeah.
Which makes me happy. It makes me feel encouraged.
Yeah, that's good. That'd be a bummer if you got to that point where, like, oh, this doesn't work.
Yeah, this game is actually a terrible idea. But it also just gave me a big old obviously there's kinks to work out of the game to make it more streamlined and stuff, but I kind of made it as big as it could possibly be so that now I can go through the process of scaling it back. That's kind of the whole idea.
It's better to trim the fat than realize that you're missing something.
Yeah, I like to take a project to where I can't add anything else and then bring it back to where I can't take anything else away.
So what's the Thomas Edison quote? That the perfect machine is one that can't possibly have anything else added to it?
No, I can't have anything taken away from it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In the same spirit.
Yeah, the original light bulb had like a bunch of gears and whistles. It had a whistle when you turned it on to let you know the light was on. For deaf people.
The on light is on the light.
I wonder if they have something like that for people who are hearing impaired to let them know that the lights are on. Anyway.
What?
Yeah.
So people that are hearing impaired?
Yeah, because like you have guests over to your house. Or I guess, I'm sorry, not hearing impaired. Vision impaired.
Oh, okay.
I always get those two mixed up.
If I was blind, I would never turn any lights on, even if I had company. I'd be like, welcome to my world. I got home field advantage here.
That's true.
I wouldn't even have light bulbs in the lights.
Yeah, it's like...
I would have lamps with no light bulbs, though.
You have no idea how much money I save.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, sure, you could use the bathroom. Good luck. There's also no windows. I had them boarded over.
BYOF, bring your own flashlight.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, anyway, playtest went well. I'm excited to playtest it some more. And like I said, trim the fat off it. But guess what? It's a game, which I think is as much as I can ask for after the first playthrough. I was like, wow, this is actually a game.
Like, this I'm excited to play it.
So yeah, I'm excited about it. Anyway, speaking of the Great Canadian Beer Fest, Jesse, what are you drinking this week?
It's neither great nor Canadian. Mm. It's barely even a beer, really. I'm drinking some Busch. It's my go-to macro.
My. Wow.
Yeah.
Go-to macro isn't Rainier?
Well, okay. Rainier, then Busch, then, I don't know, PBR or something
like
that.
I guess Rainier's not really a macro, though. It's just a cheapo.
Yeah, it's a cheapo for sure.
My go-to macro is Miller High Life. That's like the one that
That's the difference between you and me.
I guess that is. That's the spectrum that we are on, sir. I actually had I had a Rainier a little earlier tonight. So I'm a tall boy of Rainier in, and now I'm drinking the Born and Raised IPA from No Fi Brew House in Spokane, Washington. I think I've had this one on the show before.
I think it's No Lie.
What did I say?
I think it said Hi-Fi.
Whatever. No Lie. Yeah, No Lie Brew House. I've had this before. It's real good. 7% gives you a little kick in the butt, and it is delicious. Next time I'm in Spokane, Lydia and I go out there at least once a year. When we're heading over to her brother's house, I think stopping by No Lie would be a good detour.
You should. Spokane's trying to turn itself into a beer destination city.
Why not, man? You got Walla Walla Wine.
Yeah, they really should. They're trying to be like the Bend of Washington.
Let's do it.
Pretty cool.
I'm down. So we also have some listener feedback this week, and starts off with an email, Jesse. This one comes from a kindred spirit to your birth home, where you were born.
I was home birthed.
You were home birthed at the
no hospitals,
home.
Please.
Actually, I kid you not, Jesse. At your wedding shower, I believe your dad told me the entire story of your birth. So I actually
I
kind of know exactly what went on during that whole thing.
I have no idea. Please don't tell me.
He told it to me in graphic detail. And wow. I know your mom listens to the show, so she might get mad at your dad for that. But I just wanted to put it out there that I know how you were born.
Great.
Speaking of how you were born in Australia, which some of our listeners may not know. You have dual citizenship. And and Ben from Australia decided to chime in. So he says, hey, guys, just wanted to bring to light the fact that the first AFL preseason game is being played tonight with a game each day for the next 18 days. I saw on the website a pretty cool international promotion where the whole preseason is free to stream internationally, and I thought you guys might like to check it out. It is at http://WATCHAFL. That's watchafl.afl.com.au. I promise I'm not a bot. Oh, dude, you shouldn't have said that. Now I think you're a bot.
Uh-oh.
That's something a bot would say, is I am not a bot.
Mm-hmm.
I promise I'm not a bot, just love the show and love sport and love AFL, so wanted to share this with you. P.S. Don't go for the Hawthorne Hawks despite the Seahawks connection. Just don't do it. Ben from Australian. That's how he signed it.
Yeah, I saw that.
Do you know anything about AFL? Who's your favorite AFL team?
I don't know who to root for, but for some reason I like the Collingwood Magpies. I think it's a cool mascot. They have cool uniforms.
It sounds like a chapter in Alice in Wonderland.
It does.
What about, am I mixing up AFL? Are the Canberra Raiders in the AFL?
No, that's rugby. That's a different sport.
Mm. Yeah, I got to get into it. I got to pick my team. I think I'm going to see who's in Western Australia.
Oh, yeah. There's like Fremantle. There's a couple of Western Australia teams. I think the Bulldogs might be.
I want to go to the most desolate desert city and root for that team.
Yeah.
Hopefully
it's
not
that.
Although the Magpies is kind of the greatest mascot I've ever heard of.
Magpies are cool. That's the thing. Is like, I would root for a Canberra team, but there's not a Canberra team in that league.
What?
Yeah, like, Aussie Rules football, because there's like two football sports in Australia that are popular. There's Aussie Rules football and there's Rugby League.
Mm-hmm.
And Rugby League is like what the Northerners enjoy more, so including like New South Wales.
Okay.
So like New South Wales and Queensland, and they all like rugby, whereas Victoria and South Australia, that's Aussie Rules football territory.
Interesting. I mean, I guess, you know, the capital of the United States didn't have a baseball team until like 2003, I think. So that's understandable. Yeah. It's understandable. Anyway, yeah, I say why not? I mean, we are in the drought now. We are in the sports drought.
Yeah, totally.
So
I could get into it. I tried to last year. I just had a hard time keeping up with it.
Mm.
And I also didn't. I need a team that I can root for. Maybe that's the Collingwood Magpies.
Collingwood Magpies. I don't know. But if Ben can let us know what team we should be rooting for, he seems to be the expert here. Also, this Watch AFL link. Maybe we should. Maybe that's our avenue into Aussie Rules. So
there you go.
Thanks. Good on you, Ben. And speaking of more listener feedback, we got another international card. It's an international flavor, and this one comes to us from the dulcet German tones of one Dennis Kleinbeck. And here he is, Dennis. Take it away.
Hey, guys. It's Dennis Kleinbeck from Germany. And I just saw that House of Cards Season 2 is scheduled for an October release in Germany, which means I have to wait half a year, more than half a year, to get the opportunity to watch Season 2. And you, I believe it's Saturday when Netflix drops Season 2 in America. It's just sad because we don't get Netflix here in Germany. I'm really for a worldwide release when everything, every movie drops at the same date for everyone, so everyone's at the same page. It's sad, but I have to deal with it. Anyway, are you planning to see the Lego movie, or have you seen it? Because a lot of it got a lot of praise the last day, so I'm really looking forward to see it because the trailer looked awesome, and I think the stop motion and animation they showed in the trailer were pretty much the most creative thing I saw the last years. I guess it's a children's movie. But I hope it's a pretty good one. And I heard that it's a pretty good one. So, really excited for it. Have a great cast, a great week, and get off my back, stay arrogant, and bye.
Bye, Dennis. We love you, man. Get off my back.
You went and saw this, didn't you?
I did see it, and actually it's going to be one of my topics. So we're going to save that for a little later in the show.
Cool.
But the first question here, you know, companies want to deter pirating. It's like, if you're Dennis Kleinbeck, you're in Germany, and you're not going to get a show that is being released all at once to everybody in the United States through a digital source, and you have no access to it till October, like, that only encourages pirating. It's like, well, I could wait till October, or I could just download it for free from this site, from the Pirate Bay, and then get whatever I want.
Yeah, it's a weird business model, or lack thereof.
It's, and you know, movies is one thing, but these digitally distributed television shows, which is basically the way that things are going, I mean, I would be very surprised if live TV is used for anything but infomercials, news, and sports in 5 years. Like, everybody watches their shows online now. So if you're gonna have digital distribution, you gotta do same day release. I wholeheartedly agree with you, and I empathize with you, sir, because I love House of Cards And I can't wait to listen to it. And if you can't wait to listen to it, little plug here. Of course, the Bald Move Network is covering it. Aaron and Gino are, Gino, we play Civ with Gino, or I'm sorry, Jim every week. We play Civ with Jim every week. And he actually had to move Civ this week because he's waking up at 3 a.m. to binge watch House of Cards on Friday so that they can bring you podcasts on House of Cards. That's the dedication of this podcast network to your listening pleasure. So, watch out for the House of Cards podcast dropping this weekend, to accompany that. All right, man. That's our listener feedback for this week. Are you ready to do a little tiny mat roll off?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay. We're each going to roll a 20-sided die to see who gets to speak first on the podcast this week. And here we go.
I rolled a 4, so I'm feeling pretty good about that.
You should, man, because I rolled a 15. And a 15 is 1, and negative 1 plus 5 is 4. So technically, we almost rolled the same thing.
Numerology. It means Napoleon Bonaparte is the devil. That was a little War and Peace deep cut. We're all you War and Peace fans out there.
Love it. Thank you. We do have a lot of Russians listening because of the Sochi Olympics. There's a big influx of American podcasting.
Just download all the podcasts you can find. One of them will be talking about the Olympics.
I can't read the title, so I just downloaded every podcast in English.
How crazy would it be, though, if there was an Olympic athlete that listened to this podcast?
Well, how many Olympic athletes are there? I mean, for all we know, Dennis Kleinbeck could be going to the biathlon track tomorrow. All right. Well, for my first topic, I'm going to be talking about a video game.
Here we go.
Finish him. All right. This actually goes along with a question that one of our listeners dropped on our ears this week, and it has to do with a little game brought to you by Blizzard Entertainment that I started playing this week. And Jesse, you have any idea what this game could be?
Diablo?
No. It actually comes to us from Kevin. He wrote us this message. He says, "Hey guys, I don't think you brought it up yet, but have you tried out the beta of Hearthstone, the card game from Blizzard? I'm not super familiar with all the other card games like Magic, but the beta is free to download and it seems pretty fun so far." I was hoping that you think that I started playing World of Warcraft.
You'd be about 9 years late on yeah, that.
That sounds like it's about me though. That's about me with video games. It's like, oh, 9 years? Okay, I'll try it. It's gone through the battle test.
I hear it's pretty good. I hear it's better than when I played it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so I want to talk about this game Hearthstone because I heard about it on Polygon, and I've been looking for some games to play, and I think that my computer kind of sucks. So, like, during the Steam sale, I bought, like, 4 games that I can't even play on my computer. But I got them in my back pocket until I get a better computer.
Yeah, take an upgrade.
Yeah. but so this Hearthstone game, I was like, yeah, I'll give it a whirl. It's free. So I signed up for my Battle.net account, and I got the free beta. And oh my goodness, this game is so great.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And, you know, this game is not only free, but it's also a free-to-play game, which means in-app purchases, right? It means in-game purchases.
Ah.
But I have put three and a half hours into this game, and I haven't made a single in-game purchase yet.
So is it competitive, or you're playing against a computer?
There is a competitive mode, or there's like a battle mode where you play against a computer. They call it practice. And then there's the play mode where it matchmakes you against a real person and you play against them.
Uh-huh.
And they set you up pretty well with, like, getting extra decks and unlocking cards and unlocking... There's 9 different classes that you can play as that kind of align with all
like
the...
Like biology, mathematics, yeah,
exactly.
English, that kind of thing?
Yeah, my personal favorite is biochemistry.
Oh, a hybrid class.
Yeah, followed quickly by a life drawing. Because then your opponent is nude and then you have to draw them. No, oh. Not classes like that. Classes as in the World of Warcraft classes. So you have like a paladin, gotcha. A mage, a hunter. There's what's the guy with the plants and the animals?
Druid.
Yeah, druid. So anyway, you basically play as each of these guys, and it's kind of like a really scaled back Magic the Gathering in a lot of ways. So every creature comes with a battlefield, and they each have a power and a toughness. But if you deal damage to a creature's toughness, then it stays away. So in Magic, if you don't kill a creature, it still retains all of its toughness. In this one, you can whittle down the toughness of each of the creatures. And then you can also attack a creature, or you can just decide to attack the player. And, so you don't have to, like, go through a creature to get to a player. You can just directly attack a player.
This sounds a lot like Magic the Gathering.
It is. It's kind of a total Magic ripoff in
That's
a lot
weak.
Of ways. Well, it is, but at the same time, I think that it's a game that can be picked up a little bit easier, than Magic can. And I think the games go a lot faster, even though you play with 30 health instead of 20 like you do in Magic the Gathering. But the real thing that I really like about this game is, and the thing that I'm impressed with, because I'm not a Blizzard aficionado, the last Blizzard game I played was StarCraft 1. Mm. So I'm by no means a Blizzard aficionado, but the thing that blew me away about this game is the presentation is so good. And it's like the sound effects are amazing in this game. Like, I wish there was like an Oscar for sound design in a video game, because the sound design is really, really good. Everything is like really tactile and clicky and fun. And the great thing about it is it really packs this whole, experiential punch as a game, but it runs on my computer flawlessly.
Right.
It doesn't lag, and my computer sucks. And it runs great, and it matchmakes really quickly, and the whole experience has just been really good so far. To the point where I could see myself investing some money into this game, and when I say invest, I mean paying money to play a video game, which I usually do. I rarely ever don't play money to play a video, pay money to play a video game.
Right.
But you could get into this game for a very, very nominal cost, and I think put a lot of hours into it.
Have you been doing the multiplayer?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's supposed to connect you with a player that is about at your level. And going into the match, I lost my first three matches right away. Like, I got slaughtered. And this is after going through the story mode. And to go through the story mode, you have to unlock each of the classes. So you have to beat 9 opponents, basically, to make it all the way through the story mode. So I was feeling pretty confident going into the play mode, lose my first three matches. And I was like, screw this. But there are daily challenges that net you coins. So you don't have to buy coins. You can earn them by doing the daily challenges. And the daily challenge for that day was to win 3 matches in online multiplayer. So I lost my first 3. Then I won my 4th one. So I was like, all right, well, I'll try one more. Totally got obliterated the 5th one. But then kept playing, and then I won my next 3 in a row. So I don't know if that means that it matched me better, or if it was matching evenly the whole time, because I'm basically 4-4, which would actually mean that the matchmaking is pretty good. Because matchmaking doesn't mean that it matches you up with somebody that's terrible. It means you match up with somebody who's on your level. And I'm 4-4 in matchmaking. So for the most part, I've just been really happy with this game. And for no money, I have gotten a lot of enjoyment out of it. Like, to the point where I'm like, well, I should give them some money for this, I think, because I've definitely bought games that were more expensive and played them less than this game.
Uh-huh. So, I mean, do you feel like do you get an advantage over other players by spending money on it?
I don't think so, because I think that the online matchmaking is so good at matching you up with somebody who's on your level. And I also unlocked 4 or 5 packs for free, basically, just going through the tutorials and learning the game. And usually packs are what you buy.
How much is a pack?
It's $1.99 for one. And I think you get like 6 for $20 or something.
Yeah, I'm just weary about this because I don't want to, like, I wouldn't want to get into a game and then be like, well, this, I'm losing every time I play, or right. even if I'm not, if it's not every time, but it's like, I had four good matches and four matches that I would have been able to win, except for the guy had better cards because he spent more money.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, that's the same thing that Magic is.
Exactly. And it, I'm completely with you there. And I think that Hearthstone does a really good job at not making you spend money to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there's this other game that came out really recently called Loadout, which is like a third-person arena shooter a la, you know, Team Fortress, that people are also saying the same thing. It's a free-to-play title. You can buy upgrades if you want, but you can spend no money and have fun playing it.
Yeah, I guess it depends. I mean, you're having a good attitude about this.
Yeah.
But me, when I get hyper-competitive, like, that would ruin my day if I lost the game because of something that I consider malarkey, you know? So just well, emotionally, I have to distance myself.
This is a competitive card game, Jesse, so you
Sorry
will
about
lose.
The strong language.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, this is a competitive card game. So, which means that you're going to lose to malarkey, you know? Every time, most of the times you lose, you're going to lose to some weird malarkey that happens. Which is just kind of the way it works in these types of games. I mean, Magic is kind of the same way. You're just like, well, I didn't have the cards and he did, and so I lost. But I don't think
Yeah, but
you...
I get negative fun out of that. Like, that drains fun out of my otherwise fun life.
But the thing about it, and I know you know this with Magic, is that if you lose that way, it just fuels you to want to keep playing. Right?
See, like, I play Magic cards in like draft formats.
Right.
Because, you know, then it's contained. Like, you can't buy extra cards to win with.
Well, then you're going to like this game because I mentioned the play mode. I mentioned the practice mode.
Uh-oh, is there a booster draft
there's
mode?
There's a third mode called Arena Mode, I believe it's called. In this mode, you draft a deck at the beginning and you basically get a deck for the cost of doing it. And it costs $1.99 to draft a deck. But the first time you draft a deck, it's free. They gave you the first one free.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can go in and you're always going to get a deck out of that cost.
I can totally get behind something like that.
Yeah, and that's what it is. You draft it. Each deck is 30 cards because you don't have to worry about mana. Your mana automatically generates each turn.
God, I wish Magic had something like that.
Yeah, and it's great because you can actually plan out your hands a lot better. Like, you can be like, okay, this is my one drop, this is my two drop, this is my three drop, because you know you're going to have that much mana each turn.
Right.
There's a lot of ripoff of Magic in this, but at the same time,
Are there, like, five colors, or does, like, each class have its own mana type?
All mana is colorless, but...
What's the verbiage they're using for this?
They say mana.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, they're not even trying.
Yeah, it's straight. There's a lot of straight Magic ripoffs in this.
The game is called Magic the Blizzard version.
Magic the Blizzarding. So you're asking about colors, and they don't really have colors, but they have they have nine different classes. And depending on the class that you're playing, you can get special cards that pertain only to your class. And then there's like a giant pool of common cards that everybody can use.
This sounds pretty fun. You actually sold me, and I feel like it would be something I could get into.
Yeah.
Doing the single player thing, just doing the daily challenges or whatever, and building fun decks. And then, like, if there was like a small enough community or whatever, I mean, it'd be fun to get the guys together and be like, all right, $1.99, but we're going to do like this draft arena.
Yeah. So in the beta, there's no multiplayer. There's no managed multiplayer, so you're not going to be able to do a game with your friends. But I would, like I said, this is just the beta, and it's a damn impressive beta. So in the future, it'd be really great, you know, if they do it. And you know, as Magic, I mean, Magic is a juggernaut. Wizards of the Coast is a juggernaut, but they have to be looking at something like this with a built-in audience that Blizzard has, and being like, okay, what are these guys doing right? Because I mean, I played Duels of the Planeswalkers, and I like the Hearthstone experience a lot more. The Hearthstone experience, it gives you that CCG you know, kick that you're looking for, but in the setting of like an old Windows card game where you can just drop in at any time, play a match for 10 minutes, win or lose, think about it a little bit, and then get out if you want. Or you could play it for 2 hours if you want. Like, it's,
right.
It's a great game and it's free to play. So I think everybody out there should go and try it. And I know we've been talking a lot about the game of football and specifically the Seahawks lately. So it's kind of nice to get back.
I don't think we really have.
Maybe. But it's nice to get back to real video game talk and talk about this game. And I think this is a game that anybody could play. If you've never played one of these games before, there's no risk in signing up and playing for this game. Like, it's free.
Cool.
And you can have a lot of fun playing the free version of it. So, I wanted to get into a little other thing about this, and maybe we'll talk about this in the future if you try the game, Jesse. But also, I actually really, you know me, I've loved to have the physical media, like to have the DVD, to have the physical disc of the game, to collect that stuff. But Hearthstone has me really thinking about, digital CCGs and their future and how that's actually kind of great, especially because this past weekend I cleared out and I literally have like 1,000 Magic cards and I was like trying to clean them out and I'm like, Jesus, I have so many.
Yeah, I can understand the merits of that now.
Yeah,
like I have a bunch of Magic cards sitting around not really doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I go through them and like comb through them and like, oh yeah, yeah, Chameleon Colossus, that's cool.
I know, I'm with you, man. So in the future, try this game, and I want to have a future discussion about CCGs and their future as an online digital platform.
Yeah, I think I'll check that out this weekend.
Do it, buddy. It's fun, man. I've had a great time with it. So Jesse, what's your first topic?
I want to get into some science.
Woo!
If today we're able to create a two-headed dog with six legs, is it possible that a similar creature existed thousands of years ago? And I say yes.
Great Scott!
Great Scott.
That cracks me up every time.
It's always
what
fun.
What the hell is he going on about?
I think that's a direct line from the evolution debate that Bill Nye did last week.
yeah, that was Bill Nye talking.
Exactly.
Man.
What's happening in science, bro?
Yeah, this is going to be close to home for you because it happened in Seattle.
All right.
Officials from the Burke Museum, which is the museum that's associated with the University of Washington.
It's on the UW campus.
Yeah, so those officials confirm that construction workers have, in fact, uncovered a mammoth tusk that appears to date back to the Ice Age.
What? Where?
Yeah. It's in South Lake Union.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing all that construction down there, and they found a mammoth tusk. How
love
cool
it.
Is that?
That's so cool. They're sure it's not like a whalebone?
I mean, the officials from the Burke Museum have confirmed it.
Well.
So... Also, like, how would the whale get up on land?
Well, I mean, you never know. The whole area was probably covered in water at one point.
That's true. I do prescribe to the ancient water world theory.
I love Ice Age mammals.
Yeah, Ice Age mammals are pretty cool.
They're the greatest ever. I mean, you had freaking woolly rhinoceroses roaming the Great Plains next to bison. How beautiful is that?
And mammoths.
And mammoths.
And in Seattle.
In the Seattle Times.
Drinking their tullies, mm-hmm. listening to Nirvana with their flannel on.
Doing it big.
Doing the whole Seattle experience. So here's an interesting facet to this. Mm-hmm. Because the fossil is on private property and does not seem to be associated with an archaeological site, it's up to the landowner to decide what they would like to do with the tusk. Did you know that? I feel like there should be like some sort of scientific eminent domain where like,
well,
if you dig
Jesse,
up, but it's not just yours.
I think that it happens if there is a eminent scientific advantage towards studying the artifact. I think that probably is it. But dude, yeah. They got mammoths up the yin yang. They got mammoth fossils. They got like that whole preserved mammoth that came out of Russia.
Yeah, that's true.
They got mammoth. They're swimming in mammoths. They're like, we don't even want it. They're like magic cards. They're like, just give us a digital copy of it. Just give us the digital tusk.
What would you do? I would totally put it up in my house.
I think, like, I mean, how could you not turn it into a wall hanging?
Yeah.
Mount the shit out of that. And I want it lengthwise. I want it sticking out of my wall.
Is it legal? I want it sticking out.
Right.
Straight out. Is it legal to own ivory?
Well, I believe it's not. I believe elephant or rhinoceros horn is illegal to own.
Uh-huh.
And the reason why I think that is because when I was 12 years old, I used to watch a lot of Oprah when I got home from school.
Like every healthy 12-year-old boy does.
Yeah, I watched Rosie O'Donnell and Oprah.
God.
What can I say? There was the only thing on. What?
Okay.
I didn't have cable, man.
Okay.
It was either that, and then when Kong TV came on, then I started watching Beverly Hillbillies and Gomer Pyle USMC. This was my childhood. Does it explain anything? Okay, so anyway, this guy on Oprah apparently had like this giant collection of foreign objects, and they like went through his house, and it was basically like a museum. It was his piece. But he had this elephant's foot stool from like the 1920s, and it's a stool made out of an elephant's foot. It's like I actually think it was a footrest, which is kind of, punny, because it's like a footrest made out of a foot. Anyway.
I don't think I get it.
After it was on that show.
Should they have made a trunk?
a trunk out of the trunk?
No, out of the foot.
Oh, okay. After that show, Oprah did a follow-up and said that the EPA came and removed that elephant foot from his home because you can't have elephant artifacts. So I would say no, in the United States, you probably cannot own any elephant-made artifacts.
So you can't have elephant artifacts, ivory, footstools, etc. I mean, the reason is, you know, they're an endangered species.
Right. And it encourages...
Arguably, woolly mammoths are way more endangered.
No, they're done. I think that they're done.
Yeah. There is a point where... So, like, if they kill the last elephant, does it become okay to have an elephant footstool?
Well, that's like saying, is it okay to have a dinosaur bone in your house?
Right.
Because dinosaurs are also extremely endangered.
Mm-hmm. No, they live on as alligators. I guess woolly mammoths live on as elephants.
Exactly.
I don't know if that's true or not. Actually, I think that might be totally wrong, what I just said.
Nah, there's no way to know. Anyway, the idea here, of course, is what are we going to do with this tusk? And yes, you have to mount it. I think that that's what you have to do, is mount it, and then preferably paint a mural behind it so that it's a woolly mammoth mural, and then the 3D tusk is coming out of the wall.
That would be so cool.
Because presumably this is a South Lake Union landowner, which means that they're sitting on a lot of valuable property, which is wanted by Amazon because they're buying up everything in South Lake Union. You have to assume that this guy has some cash on hand that he can mount this thing in his home and create an awesome mural. Like, think about the great mural you could have. You could have, like, the woolly mammoth, the woolly rhino, you could throw in a giant sloth. You could, and then have like the Neanderthals like hunting it on the plains. It'd be great.
Yeah. Then you could get some real Neanderthal artifacts. Yeah. Although I think they were Homo sapien or the.
Yeah, they were
what
Neanderthals.
Am I thinking of?
Cro-Magnons. Yeah, Neanderthals were European.
Right.
Yeah.
Anywho, it's pretty cool.
Right.
The museum is offering to excavate it if they could study it.
Yeah, why not, man? Bird Museum is actually a pretty small little museum, so.
Yeah.
But I like it because also the Bird Museum does a lot of Native American research of ancient
right.
Native American tribes. So I think this would fit right in because obviously these woolly mammoths lived with Native Americans in Western Washington, which is pretty cool. I mean, but other things you can do with this tusk if you're not going to mount it, which you should do. I think make it into a really awesome cribbage set. You can bring out, or
you could have little spears for the pegs.
Exactly. Oh, I like it. I like
You could cut it up and turn it into coasters.
I mean, you could also just use toothpicks, but that's a little spot on. I like the coaster idea, but it does demolish the whole thing. And they'd
yeah,
be
it does.
Huge coasters.
It could be the world's coolest chainsaw carving.
Oh my. Turn it into a Seahawk. Just give it to that chainsaw carver guy and turn it into a Seahawk.
Yeah.
I love it. Hood ornament, of course.
Yeah, I was thinking hood ornament.
Yeah.
It's a little dangerous.
I just love the idea of like going through Texas, like pulling up at the hood ornament convention in Austin, Texas. And like there's a bunch of dudes with their giant, you know, steer horns. And then you just
Longhorn steer, original. Yeah. Check this out.
It's my
I had
woolly
to make
mitten.
The other one out of paper mache.
No, you just stick it out of the front, man. Just a straight
yeah, straight.
One. Stick it right out of the front, and then the whole car is woolly.
Oh.
I think that's what you have to do now.
Mm-hmm. But it'd have to be like the Possum Lodge van from Red
yeah.
Green.
Yeah, or like that giant dog van from Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except it's
the
a woolly
mammoth.
Mammoth
mobile. Or you could turn it in. You could turn the mammoth mobile into a Paleolithic food truck.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Paleo diet
Paleo
only food
diet
truck?
Food truck. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's what you do with it.
I don't know. I do have one more idea, Jesse. I don't know if you like this or not, but you grind it down till it's soluble, and then you put it in some beer, make mammoth beer.
Ah, brew with it.
Yeah.
You could also make like a mash paddle. Turned into a brew tool.
There you go.
That'd be cool.
I just love the idea of like Ice Age winter ale and yeah. With real mammoth tusk.
Brewed with real chunks of mammoth tusk in every bottle.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah.
All
yeah,
right.
I think either that or the food truck.
Mm-hmm. I like the full food truck, the mammoth mobile food truck. And like it has to have spears sticking out of the back of it. Lumbering down the road.
Best,
yeah. We should just do this anyway.
I you know, actually, I agree with you.
Oh, man. Any other science news this week?
That's it, I All think.
Right. All right. I love the idea, man. Now we've done... We're just full of ideas. We got Geek Seek. We got
yeah.
the Bend Growlers.
What's the name for the food truck, though?
Mammoth Mobile.
Oh, okay. Yeah, duh.
Mammoth
duh,
Mobile
sorry.
Paleo Food Truck.
Yeah.
Do it. All right. That means it's time for trivia. We're going to be doing Genus 1 of Trivial Pursuit. I'm going to be rolling a six-sided die to see which category we're doing this week. It is a three. It is history, Jesse. And I always have to remind the listeners that Jesse has a bachelor's degree in history.
I think I may. Actually, the university came and took it away after last time we did this.
This is your refresher test. You have to pass it in order to retain your history degree. Okay.
They gave me all the money back that I spent on the degree, though, so that was nice.
That is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can always have a literature degree, and then you'll have to go in arts and literature.
There you go.
All right, Jesse. This question is for you. Please play along at home. What was the headline? I feel like we've had this one. I think we've just like done so many of these questions. We need a new Trivial Pursuit. Okay, Jesse, try this one. What Israeli prime minister spent 2 years in a Russian concentration camp?
I'll go with Ben-Gurion.
I'll go with Netanyahu. Which is that? It is Menachem Begin.
Oh, Begum.
Yeah, that one. So, man, you're still flexing your muscles in the fact that you know how to pronounce that.
Yeah, I did take a history of the Arab-Israeli conflict class, so
wow.
I probably should have known that.
All right, this one's for me. What did cowpunchers use to protect their legs?
Cowpunchers?
Cowpunchers.
What does that even mean?
It means you go out and you punch cows.
Oh, okay.
You punch them in their dumb cow heads. what are
Records
these?
Suck. You're not a mammoth punch.
A punch? This sounds like an episode of Adventure Time. I'm going to go with, what do you call those things? Oh, great pod here. Leather chaps. Chaps.
Yeah, chaps is what I was going to say. I guess I'll go with, like, Greaves? Greaves?
Chaps. Got it.
Ow.
All right, Jesse, this question's for you. Who was accused?
What is a cowpuncher?
Yeah, what is a cowpuncher? That's the main question. I just love the idea. Like, the thing that blows my mind is that cows were once wild animals. Like, they're
yeah,
just,
they were a lot different back then, though.
They're just walking around, and I bet you that's what cowpunchers do, is they domesticate wild cows by punching them in the head.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Dogs came from wolves.
Right.
It's not that weird for me to think that, like, oh, yeah, some humans, like, buddied up with some wolves and whatever. And
yeah, but it is weird for me to think that a chihuahua came from a wolf.
That is weird. But what's weirder is the first human that decided to hang out with big cats. Like, I'm gonna get this cat. That was a crazy person.
No, there were small cats, too. Like, ocelots.
Oh, like, still.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, cats are really not even still domesticated. Like,
yeah, they're pretty wild.
You don't have a cat as a pet. A cat lives with you.
Mm-hmm. Who's walking who?
Yeah.
Cowpunchers hanging out and telling stories during branding time.
Oh, God, branding time?
Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
That's a sequel to Adventure Time.
Oh. All right, Jesse, this question's for you. Who is the accused in the trial of the century, which opened January 1st, 1935?
Who was accused?
Yeah, this is a tough one.
1935? I don't know. It's got to be something about, like, the Lindbergh baby.
Yeah, that was the trial of the century. I have no idea who the defendant was, though.
Some stupid cowpuncher.
Yeah, Cowpuncher Joe, I believe. His name was Bruno Richard Hauptmann. Bruno Richard Hauptmann.
Alias Bruno Mars.
Yep. All right, this question for me. If I get it, I win it. What FBI operation sent agents disguised as Arabs fishing for crooked congressmen? I actually know this one because I watched American Hustle, the David O. Russell movie, and they called it... Oh, shit. What did they call it? Abscam. Abscam.
Yeah, I'll go with Contra. Iran-Contra.
Abscam is it. Thank you, David O. Russell, in your movie American Hustle. David O. Hustle.
Well, there... I don't have it anymore. You already took it. You took it last time. Sorry, I gotta deal with these guys.
Okay.
I don't have it. That was a little goof I did there.
Nice.
Thanks.
Who was it?
The people taking my history degree.
Oh, I got it. Okay. I literally just thought you were talking to Elsa.
Yeah, I was yelling at my daughter.
I don't have it. I don't have it. Oh, man, that was funny.
There's a comic book called Cowpuncher.
Oh, cool. This is about a guy who punches cows?
It's got a cowboy and a busty lady with a dress that's too low, and she's tied up.
I think that's the definition of busty.
Yep.
Okay, well, anyway, check that out if you are curious. And we're going to move on to my second topic, which is movies.
Do you know what nemesis means?
All right, well, I teased it twice so far, but I am going to be talking about the Lego movie this week. Lego movie, quick review, awesome.
Yeah.
Just great. Just really good. And I know everybody's saying that, but there are a couple of reasons that I really, really love this movie. First of all, it's about Legos. And Jesse, I got to think that you're going to be seeing this movie.
Yeah, I mean, Tasha and I were talking about maybe going and seeing it this weekend, but, like, my daughter's still too young to take to the movie theater.
Yeah.
So then it was like, well, it would be weird for us to like drop off our daughter and go watch a kids movie together. So I think we're going to see her instead.
Yeah, I actually wanted to see her because it was playing at the same theater and it was starting right after the Lego movie. So I wanted to do a double feature.
You should have done the old like, you know, what do they call it? Movie hopping or whatever?
Yeah, whatever it is. It was like a tiny theater though, so. What I felt kind of bad about. But not, well, whatever. Lydia wasn't up for the double feature. But dude, like, you love Legos, right? I mean, I have a good relationship with Legos. But, I think that you love Legos.
Yeah, I like Legos more than I probably should. That was like the first thing I did when I found out that I was going to be a father was I went and bought some Legos.
Yep.
Star Wars Legos, because I'm like, these are dope, and my future child is going to enjoy these. And then I took them to a bar and just started playing with them on the bar counter.
Did anybody come and talk to you?
Well, the bartender was right there.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, that's awesome. I wish I was playing with Legos right now.
This is the thing about this movie, is that full of kids 5 to 7... Like 50% yeah. kids 5 to 10, probably 5 to 10, and then 50% people 25 to 35.
Right.
Equal
yeah.
amounts.
We all grew up on Legos.
Yeah. And Jesse, so you love Legos, but you have not seen this movie. What would you want from the Lego movie?
I guess I would want like some cool construction related stuff where like they build things from Legos in the movie, like deconstructing mm-hmm. props and building other props. Yep. I would like construction to be part of a theme.
Okay.
So,
anything else?
I mean, I watched the trailer. I feel like I have a pretty good idea of what the movie's going to be like from the trailer, but
yeah,
I don't know. I kind of want to just feel like I'm in the Lego world. Like I am a little Lego minifigure.
I think I could say check and check on this one, dude.
Oh, like, all right.
Both of those things actually play really big into this. And I don't want to give you any spoilers because I know you need to see this movie. It's so good.
I'm not too worried about spoilers on this one.
Okay. But I really think that you need to understand the magic of the movie. You need to not have spoilers about it.
Okay. Okay.
But there is like a very magical element that really puts you in the shoes of like you as a kid playing with Legos. And like I had a couple Lego sets. I distinctly remember I had a pirate set because I had the little shark guy, the little shark Lego guy, which was awesome. And like, yeah, I would, you know, take it out of the box, follow the instructions, build the thing. But then after I was done with that, I would just start messing around and building whatever I wanted.
Right. Yeah. That's a free for all.
And really, like, that's what Legos are, is like Legos are an embodiment of American or, you know, Western child imagination. Like, I feel like they are a representation of that. And what that embodies and like, how these little bricks that create these blocky, not really realistic shapes and vehicles and houses and landscapes, how they still capture that imagination and even building something out of these things that doesn't really look like, I mean, it resembles, but it's not a one-to-one recreation like a model would be. It allows you to fill in those gaps, to round off those corners with your own imagination. And there's a lot of power in that. And anyway, that's just Lego. And this movie kind of does the same thing. It kind of embodies that same ability for you to embody that imagination. And that's like the root of this movie. I couldn't love it more. I really couldn't.
I'm really excited to watch this.
And there's a couple, like, some great things that have transpired. Like, when I first heard of the Lego movie, I groaned. Because this is following movies like Battleship and Transformers franchise.
So great movies. You're like, how could they possibly live up to such great movies?
How could they? So anyway, but this is following up those ones. And so I groaned a little bit, but I found some hope after watching a movie called 21 Jump Street. And Jesse, have you seen 21 Jump Street?
No, but someone recently was telling me it was really good, and I was like blown away.
Yeah, 21 Jump Street is a good movie.
Yeah, like that's to me.
It's funny. It like I really enjoyed it. Like I rented it as like a cheap rental, not really expecting much, but just wanting a comedy, and I got so much more than I expected because it's actually pretty great. I really like 21 Jump Street, a remake of an 80s show. The guys who did 21 Jump Street directed the Lego Movie.
Mm.
They also directed Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, which was
I like that movie a lot.
Yeah, so that was their first directorial debut. And then before that, their only directorial credit before Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs was Clone High, which is one of my unsung animated series that I loved so much.
I've never actually seen that.
It was from the early 2000s. It only ran for 13 episodes. It was on MTV, and it was about clones of famous figures.
Right, there's like Abraham Lincoln clone.
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln, Gandhi, JFK, Cleopatra, and a few others. And I love that show. It was so good. And they were basically able to roll that into getting, you know, that was kind of their start to get into this directorial thing. And they knocked it out of the park with these adaptations that should be, Hollywood, you know, established, money making, make your budget back, and then a little bit more, recreations of these original franchises. Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs was a book. 21 Jump Street, of course, was a show from the 80s. And then the Lego Movies is a movie based on a toy. If you're looking at these, you're like, okay, maybe the book movie will be okay, but it's a children's book. It's, you know, 20 pages and they're going to turn this into a 2-hour movie.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a groan thinking about that. They nailed it. You're going to remake an 80s TV show, which we've seen over and over. Dukes of Hazzard.
Right.
You know, Beverly Hillbillies. And these aren't from the 80s, but remakes of old TV shows as movies. 21 Jump Street actually does it right, and it's funny, and it's good. And then, so you've done the remake of the children's book, you've done the remake of the past TV show, and then you're like, oh, we're just gonna make a movie based on a toy, and the aforementioned Transformers, the aforementioned Battleship, and god damn it, they just knock it out of the park! They just do it!
These are getting progressively more challenging for them too.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you just are going to go to them and be like, we want you to make Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Okay, there's a good amount of story there, obviously. It's a lot of people grew up on that, and you know, it's got a plot and characters and everything. Okay, 21 Jump Street. Ooh, okay, 80s TV show. Gonna turn that into a movie. Okay, do it. Lego. That's it. Just we want you to make Lego the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what's next? What's the next challenge? Like,
I think the next one's got to be
Streptococcus.
Well, I was thinking kitchen appliance. Like, just go Waffle Maker the movie.
KitchenAid Mixer the movie.
Exactly. The best $300 that somebody else spent on you. KitchenAid Mixer the movie.
No one's ever bought themselves a KitchenAid mixer.
No one's ever bought themselves a KitchenAid mixer. That's like the best part about getting married is just the KitchenAid mixer. That's how you know someone is married, is if you go to their house and there's a KitchenAid mixer. They are definitely married. Anyway. So anyway, got to give a shout out. It's Phil Lord and Christopher Miller. These guys are hitting it out of the park, and I can't wait to see. Well, next they got 22 Jump Street, so we'll see how that goes. Right. They've already done Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs too, which I.
Oh no, I know what their next big challenge is.
What?
In this sequel fever world we live in.
Yeah.
They've just signed on to Mega Bloks.
Actually, dude, Duplo does play a factor in this movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, Duplo is kids Lego. Mega Bloks is poor kids Lego.
Oh no.
That's what I I had me some Mega Blocks mixed in. It didn't fit right. They're,
I know, that's
wonky.
The problem. It's like, oh god, the Mega, and they were like the cheap plastic. They were like lighter than Legos.
Yeah, they were lighter. Yeah, the colors. It was like the color. The plastic of a Lego brick is like consistent throughout,
and it's
but
shiny.
Lego, like Mega Blocks would have like wavy stuff in it.
Yeah. You know, this movie made $60 or $70 million its first weekend. Cause like I said, it appeals to the great demographic. It appeals to kids, which means their parents are coming, and it also appeals to 25 to 35 year olds. So you're
and
hitting
sometime,
a lot
yeah.
of demos with this one.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of crossover.
Lego is just raking in the money right now.
Yeah, and so there's definitely going to be a Lego movie too, so they might be on that train too. So, anyway, shout out to them. And then I also just got to tell this really cute story about kids being afraid of movie theaters.
Can I, okay, before you do that, I got an idea for Lego movie too.
Okay.
Because have you seen the Lego Creator sets?
No, what are those?
It's pretty cool. It's like a set of Legos that's kind of getting back to basics,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, with all the pieces that they give you like three different cool things
oh, yeah.
you can make with it.
Yep.
They should do like a Lego Creator movie where it's like all the plot devices are the same, but like kind of rearranged to make three different movies.
Mm.
That's what I would do. Anyway, kids in the theater.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, there was this kid. So the theater was packed, and I got sat next to these two like 12-year-olds who were like sitting apart from their dad.
Oh.
So, like, their dad was away from them, and he was bringing them candy and then leaving.
What?
Yeah. Because they don't want to sit by their dad, because that's, like, lame, man. And they were chewing
That shit's not going to fly in my house, by the way.
And they were... I know. When I was in sixth grade, I went on my first date. Went and saw Space Jam. My dad sat right next to me.
That's awesome.
Dad on one side, date on the other.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, these two, like, snot-nosed 12-year-olds with braces chewing Mamba with their mouths open were right next to me, and also talking at normal volume to each other the whole time.
Dude, this is... those kids, that is the ripe age for some stranger to put them in their place in a way that they'll remember for the rest of their life.
Well, that's what I was thinking, is like, okay, I'm a 28-year-old dude. I got a beautiful wife sitting next to me.
Uh-huh.
I got a job. I came to this movie on my own volition. I didn't pay to listen to these two Yahoos doing their Yahoo thing. And if I told them, if I turned to them and I was like, dude, you guys need to shut up. They're probably like, oh shit, this dude.
Exactly.
This dude. Like, we are out of line. Because, like, who else do you want to impress more when you're 12 years old than, like, older guys, right? I'm just saying,
okay.
Like, no, what I'm saying is, like, I mean, obviously you want to impress girls, but, like, if an older guy is like, dude, you guys are being uncool.
Yeah.
Then you're like, but, like, not too old. Like, you can't be, like, adult age, and I don't know, maybe
right,
I'm going
right,
into,
right.
maybe
I know what you mean.
Maybe I'm too adult to do this. If I was 22, then I'd be, like, the crux of this.
Yeah, but you look 22.
Like, yeah, if an older guy, like an 18-year-old dude comes up to you and is like, dude, you're being so uncool right now. When you're 12 years old, you're like, oh shit.
Hey,
I need to reset
my
whole
button.
Hey,
broskies, you're being totally uncool.
Yeah.
I know. I'm a lot like you. I love Justin Bieber too. I love eating licorice with my braces on. But you're being a little bit uncool right now, and I just think that it's time for you to chill.
I think, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That's how I would handle
that. That was next to me. Sitting next to Lydia was like this family and this really nice lady. And she had her son there. And she's like, yeah, we already tried to go see one movie. And he got a little too scared. He was like probably about 3 years old. So we'll see. Hopefully, you know, he plays with Legos. So hopefully he'll be able to watch this movie and associate it with the toys that he plays with and then not get too scared. Kid got scared 5 minutes into the movie.
Oh.
And then booked
it. Dude, I got so fucking scared during Hocus Pocus.
Dude, me too. Disney movies in general.
That was, like, traumatic to me, watching Hocus Pocus.
To this day, I still cannot think about the scene in Home Alone where he steps on the nail. I can't even think about it.
Did you watch that in the theater?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I did.
Yeah.
And also, it was one of three VHS tapes that my family owned when I was a kid.
No, I remember. Well, yeah.
We had that. We had
my sister had to turn away during that.
Oh, I closed my eyes every time. We had Home Alone.
I'm remembering my sister also stepped on nails twice.
Oh!
As a kid.
See, I didn't even do that. I just couldn't take the stabby stuff.
Yeah.
Like we had Home Alone, Honey I Shrunk the Kids, and Aladdin. That was my home VHS collection as a child. Anyway, but this kid, like this is the thing you have to worry about, and you as a new father. Like, when do you take your kid to the theater? And I think you're going to have to do some trial runs.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just not fair. It's, especially now.
Cause they had to leave. They had to leave.
Totally not fair.
These parents had to leave. They left. Yeah. Because the child got too scared. And she turned to us. She said, I think this movie is a wash. We've already imagined this money is just a waste. Just to see if our child can come. And it's the second time they did it. To see if their child can sit through a child's movie.
Yeah, I think 3 is still way too young. Mm-hmm. It'll be more like 5 or 6.
Yeah. The kid was hugging a giant popcorn, and it was the size of his torso. That's how small this kid was.
Aw, that's cute. When right before I had my daughter, the head brewer, who's a father, he was like, yeah, my one piece of advice is you guys should go and watch a bunch of movies right now. It was when Tasha was like 9 months pregnant. Like, yeah, just go watch a bunch of movies.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the part I'm dreading about becoming a father. Eventually.
Well, yeah. There's definitely other stuff you should dread more than that.
Yeah, poop.
That's really not, that's like a nothing on the scale of things.
There's definitely the poop. I'm a little afraid of the poop.
The poop's not that bad, especially at first.
I think you get
baby
rid
poop,
of,
like yeah, when babies are breastfeeding, their poop smells like nothing.
Oh,
it's when they start eating solid foods. So it's like, nature, that's a stank. That's a stanker.
It's nature's way of easing you into it.
It totally is.
Yeah. All right, Jesse. What's your second topic?
Oh, I don't have a good category for this. Social commentary.
Social commentary.
Nice. So there was a restaurant owner in Oklahoma who's also a white supremacist named Gary James.
Gary James, famous white supremacist restaurant owner.
Yeah. He declared last week that his Oklahoma establishment, Gary's Chicaros, which I like Chicaros, I've never heard of. It sounds like a Spanish word.
Yep. Sounds like Texas. Anyway. Or Oklahoma Mex.
Said that, yeah, Oakmax. He said Gary Chicaros was off limits to gay people and black people and the disabled and people on welfare. And his restaurant started
people
to get
on welfare?
A bunch. Yeah. Yeah. He like went on the news. He was interviewed. And basically said people on welfare aren't welcome there because they should stay home and spend his tax money at home, not in his restaurant.
Yeah.
Anyway,
right.
Just the logic on that doesn't make sense. Like, if you're worried about your tax money being misspent, then you should be like, come spend it at my establishment. I'll get some of it back. Anyway.
I think that this guy may have a problem with logic.
Yeah.
Might have a little problem with logic.
Yeah, yeah. So, he got a bunch of reviews on Facebook and Yelp, but they were not negative reviews. They were my favorite.
Sarcastic positive?
Yeah, sarcastic positive.
I feel like this needs to be a D&D alignment.
Are you chaotic good? No, I'm sarcastic positive.
Exactly.
But really good guess.
Yeah, great guess, man. You really guessed it out of the park.
Guessed it out of the park. So, it kind of became like a LGBT viral trend to give this guy like super pro gay reviews. So one of them is like, if you enjoy a long hunk of man meat with your well done cow meat, the Chicaro Club is the place for you. Gary has truly outdone himself with the flamboyant free atmosphere in his place. Another one goes, Gary doesn't serve tube steak, but he asks for yours when you walk in the door. But don't ask to use his back door. He saves that for minorities. Pretty cool gay bar, though.
So they're
I love this. This is like my favorite thing that you can do on the internet is the sarcastic, positive, social commentary, like progressive movement thing.
Well, okay, so there's a couple sides to this because this is actually something I'm trying to guard myself against lately. Is
doing it or being invulnerable to it?
No, the thing that I've been trying to guard. So the initial time when you told me about this story is that the initial thing that I wanted to think, and it's something I'm working on because so I don't think it's any surprise here that I live in Western Washington. We've legalized gay marriage and pot, and today our governor just put a stay on the death penalty in the state. And
which I didn't think there was a death penalty.
Oh,
in Washington.
Yeah, Washington has a death penalty.
When I heard that, I was like, what?
Yeah. So anyway, call me a bleeding heart liberal, but the one thing that I feel like bleeding heart liberals that we as a community do and we love is hate reading stuff and being outraged by it.
Uh-huh.
It's like, I want to find, it's kind of like this Coca-Cola controversy, this Coca-Cola commercial controversy. You know, 95% of the people in this country watch that commercial and either forgot about it because they were rooting too hard for the Seahawks, like me, or...
I think most people, was the case
or
for
just,
most people.
Or
right?
Just didn't give a shit. Like, I mean, whatever. It's a Coke commercial. It's there, you know, we like to buy the world a Coke. It's like the new version, the modern version of that commercial. I understand where they're coming from an advertising standpoint. And yeah, I mean, it's a good commercial. I liked it. I thought it was heartwarming. It gave me a lot of patriotic pride in this country, but whatever. But then we have to like focus on all these people who are like, oh my God, I don't want the America the Beautiful being sung in other languages. And it's like, guys, this is such a small part of the population. It's like what Patton Oswalt has said, that you know what? The good guys always outnumber the bad guys. It's like we don't have to sit back and be so outraged by this shit. Like,
right.
It's kind of this liberal pacifism that I see that's kind of endemic, in liberalism is like, well, I'm going to be outraged by it, but I'm not going to actually do anything about it. I will write the niftiest Facebook posts about this.
But, I mean, what do you do? Like, I'm going to go out and buy extra Cokes.
Well, first of all, you don't give a shit. You have to pick your battles. This is like anything, right? You win your battle before you even get there. So if you're battling against the bigots of this country, you already lost because they don't use logic. So you lost.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Right.
So anyway, this
is... But you gotta resort to a different tactic, yes. Instead of just going on Yelp and being like, I don't like this guy's, beliefs about the world.
So that's what I love about this, is that it goes beyond the liberal pacifism and the liberal activism, which is, we're gonna turn this guy's establishment into a gay bar. Which is awesome. Let's do that instead.
Yeah, so one of these liberal activists said, this place was Fabu, best little score house in Enid, where everything is A-OK. Get it? Like, OK, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
I was told to dress up in whatever makes you feel sacrilegious, because everyone is welcome at Chi-Chi's. And so we did. it's so good. I love this stuff.
No, that's...
I'm glad that's going on.
I love it. I mean, like I said, this is actually turning your snarky Facebook comment into something that is useful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's not even that useful, but at least it's fun.
Like Facebook is such an echo chamber, too, because it's a selective group of people who already share common interests with you and stuff. And
yeah.
You're not really reaching out there when you're commenting on your own Facebook, because it's like, well, I'm kind of just preaching to the choir.
Exactly. It's a preaching in the choir round. And it's like, okay, I'm going to get here. I'm going to get a bunch of likes. I'm going to get the endorphin rush for that. But the fact of the matter is, you got to get out there and do shit if you really care about it. It's like, I can't be outraged about these people because they are such a small, tiny group of people and they don't really matter. Like, yeah. Obviously, if I have this many people in my network who all agree, and then there's like one random dude that from Oklahoma that I've never heard of that doesn't, I'm not going to.
Why am I even friends with Gary James?
Yeah, why am I friends with? I mean, I know I went to high school with him, but I mean,
in the 40s.
Yeah.
Oh, surprise, surprise, it's an old guy.
I'm sorry.
By the way.
This turned into my social commentary soapbox. I overtook your social commentary.
Oh, no, that's fine.
But that's what I'm saying. It goes along with, like, today they had the anti-surveillance day. And, like, the top thing on Reddit today we take a stand against surveillance online. And it's like, dude, if you think that just upvoting this comment is taking a stand, then you don't understand what taking a stand means.
I didn't just upvote it. I also created a user account so that all my upvotes can be tracked easily with the click of a button.
Yeah.
In protest of online surveillance.
Like I that's what I'm saying. I'm not against the cause. I'm against the execution.
Right.
Like back in the day, man, in the 60s, that's why people like loved the 60s, cuz like
right.
There was social turmoil. It was a tidal wave of social issues and civil rights coming on top. And it was just like a big mash of people getting involved. And today people get involved by writing a Facebook post and it derails me.
Yeah. No, I agree with you 100%. And especially when you look at things like sit-ins in the South and like the civil rights movement and.
Like, they did
the
shit.
Risk people took, you know, risking their own life and protection and their families, really, because they needed to do something, and they did, and they enacted change with it. It's inspiring. And today, like, people are just lazier today. It's almost like a Civ thing where it's like, okay, well, we got the internet, so that's plus happiness, and people aren't going to revolt, and we also got, you know, TV shows at the click of a button off of Netflix, so that's plus on your happiness. And
well, I could go to this sit-in, but House of Cards just dropped.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to sit this one out,
And by the way, guys, I'm not saying that I'm not invulnerable in this conversation. I'm just saying that I'm trying to be more cognizant of it.
Yeah,
like, that's kind
of self-awareness is the first step.
That's one of the things. I just want to be more self-aware and like really be... And, you know, it's a Daily Show generation because, like, you see all the hypocrisy that they expose on the Daily Show, and you're like, this shit is bullshit. And it's great. Right. I mean, the Daily Show does it better than anybody does. But when BuzzFeed says, watch this video will change your perspective on books, it's like, no, it won't. Stop with this. Stop. Just stop.
What could that possibly be?
I saw a post today. It was Reggie Watts will change your perspective on books. And I'm like, I love Reggie Watts. I think he's a comedic and musical genius. But guess what, guys? Today is not the day that I change my perspective on books.
I feel like I have a pretty solid grasp on the concept of books. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be overturned with one 90-second video.
I saw another one. It was like, every couple needs to watch this video before they get married. And I was like, well, I guess I'm screwed then because I didn't watch it.
Yeah. And yeah, didn't that's why it. Everyone in the 40s all got divorced.
Exactly.
They didn't watch that video.
Didn't have that video. I mean, you were
Did
in
you
a
watch
very
it,
small window. No, I didn't watch it.
Oh, I want to know what it is now.
Because I was going to hate watch it and then I stopped. I stopped myself. Hate
no,
watching.
No, that's good. You know, I do that too.
Yeah.
I need to pull myself out of hate reading, hate watching situations.
Yep. And actually, Lydia did the same thing because she watched, like, Gawker and Jezebel, like, they do a great job. I mean, they have a good perspective, but they do so much perpetuating of this hate watching shit.
Right.
It's like, watch this asshole say this terrible thing. And it's like, no. How about we just don't give him the platform?
Yeah, totally.
How about that?
Yeah. It's like I've been browsing Reddit NFL because like I still need another bump, like
right.
I'm still addicted to this NFL thing, but it's like lists. So what's the list of the best quarterback, the best young quarterbacks? And it'll be like a list of seven guys, and Russell Wilson will be at the bottom. It's like, oh, he's just overrated. Blah blah. I'm Like, why am I looking at this? This is pissing me off. Like,
yeah.
I knew what I was getting into.
No, it was not. Yeah, exactly. Like, you knew you were going to look for where Russell Wilson was and either be really excited that he's at number one or be pissed off that he's at any other level than number one.
Yeah. It's like, your opinion doesn't exactly jive with mine.
No, yeah, this is like a household thing. Because, like, yeah, Lydia stopped reading the Gawker Network sites. And, like, Gawker does a good job. I think IO9 is actually a pretty good shot. Kotaku does a pretty good job of journalism. But even Deadspin, like, there's just so much of this, like, just stop being this way. Just report on stuff and make us happy instead of just making us pissed off. We have this, like, we have this sadomasochist view of, like, I want to be so pissed off right now. Just piss me off as much as possible.
Like, what is that?
I don't know. Anyway.
Because there is some sort of satisfaction out of hate-watching stuff.
Well, it makes you feel superior. It makes you say, well, at least I'm better than that guy.
Yeah, totally.
And it's like, actually, I'd rather just... Like, there's power in humility. There's power in saying, you know what, this guy's actually better than I am. And there's a motivation, there's an intrinsic motivation and a power in that. And saying, I think I actually want to listen to this guy instead of just judging everything that he says.
Right.
Or this lady. Or
just accepting different, like...
Yeah, or different points of view.
Accepting that things are subjective, mm-hmm. not having to be right about it.
Yeah, it's like I can have friends who have different viewpoints than I do, but for some reason I only want to associate online with people who have extreme viewpoints that are completely different than anything I have, because it makes me feel good. It makes me feel like the people around me and all my friends are much smarter than everyone else. And it's like, actually, most people can relate to each other on a very common ground.
Yeah.
So let's go there instead. Let's
the internet has been such a good way for people to act like assholes to each other, whereas, mm-hmm. like, if you actually sat down with these people and had a real conversation with them face-to-face, 90% of the time, you'd be like, hey, you know, I see what you're talking about, and, you know, I disagree, but I, you know, I respect your opinion as well, whereas on the internet, it's like, you're wrong, I hate you, downvotes to you, I have some sort of power to make your opinion negligible and embarrassing, even.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anywho, so that's social commentary for the week.
That is social commentary. All right, guys, well, if you have any social commentary that you want to send our way, go ahead and give us a call. Leave us a voicemail on 360-362-0024. You can also write us an email, personalarrogance@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @personalpodcast. You can find us on Facebook. We're on the Bald Move Facebook page. We're on the Personal Arrogance Facebook page. We're on both. So like both, follow us both there. We don't put a lot of hate stuff up there. It's mostly just love and community. So just do that. And then, of course, you could just rate and view us on iTunes. That helps us out a ton. It moves us up the rankings, makes this Personal Arrogance community bigger and bigger. And then, of course, you could tell a friend. If you can't do any of that, just tell a friend about the cast. Share it with them. And make sure you kiss them on both cheeks while you do it. And then I just also want to give a shout-out. March 1st at the Stone Brewing Company in San Diego, California, we are going to be having our Bald Move meetup. 7 o'clock. We got Aaron, we got Jim, we got me, we got Geraldine, we got Susan, we got Amy. It is a Bald Move extravaganza. Come by, have a beer, chat it up. Bald Move, San Diego, March 1st, 7 o'clock, Stone Brewing Company. And speaking of the Bald Move Network, guys, oh my goodness, so much stuff going on, guys. I mentioned House of Cards. We have the first season recap with Aaron and Jim is already up on the site. We're this weekend... Season 2 recap is going to be up. They are binge-watching this shit for your listening pleasure, so check it out, House of Cards, on baldmove.com. Also, Walking Dead just started, so they're doing that as well. They're blowing it up on TV space. We also have, of course, the Because Show ladies from Los Angeles. They are awesome. They are beautiful. They are wonderful. And Geraldine just celebrated a milestone birthday. I don't know if it's a milestone birthday, but it's a birthday nonetheless. So happy birthday to Geraldine. And then... Of course, we have Up Yours Downstairs covering everything Edwardian. If it's on PBS Masterpiece, it's on Up Yours Downstairs. Follow TV, follow advice, follow lives, follow stories, baldmove.com. And as I mentioned earlier, we have our Facebook page. Each week, if you like us on Personal Arrogance, we post that we're recording. You tell us what to talk about, and we talk about it. God, we got some good comments this week. In fact, some comments that we're going to have to turn into topics in the near future because they're so damn good. But we're going to start with Jonathan. He says, you guys watching the Olympics? What's your favorite sport? And more snow in the forecast for Philadelphia. Kill me. We got our first snow here in 2 years in Seattle.
I only got a tiny dusting, and it was all melted by the next day. I was kind
of
bummed.
We got like a night of – it was actually the night we went and saw the Lego movie. We got about 3 or 4 inches, but then it started downpouring, and it's been raining ever since.
magical.
Magical snow. Sport of the Olympics, Jesse?
Curling or biathlon.
Curling and biathlon. Yeah, that's it, man. Curling and biathlon. Like, we've talked about this before. The Summer Olympics has it right because it has pentathlon, which is amazing. It's fencing, target shooting, equestrian, running, and swimming. Like, that is an amazing sport. And we have to have the Winter Olympics pentathlon, which I believe we've covered this before. I think it was biathlon, which is two. So that's cross-country skiing and target shooting, curling, and I think we have luge in there?
Synchronized snow angel.
Synchronized snow angels are great. I think that everybody also has to compete in a team sport of hockey. So you split up all of the guys, and then they all have to play hockey.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. It's all good. I mean, hockey's great. Actually, this is lame, but I don't care. As a kid, my mom watched a lot of figure skating, so I like grew up watching figure skating, so I can always watch figure skating. So
you are just admitting to all sorts of stuff on this cast.
I know. It's me, Rosie O'Donnell, Oprah, and figure skating.
Mm-hmm.
That's called having a mom. All right. Michael says, where are you guys at with the Nelson Cruz thing? Wouldn't you rather have Morales back at the same price, even with the glut of first baseman Angel Martinez likes? It is baseball.
Oh, it's baseball thing.
I'm gonna answer it in three sentences. Okay. Nelson Cruz is an outfielder, so I'd rather have him than Kendrys Morales because we have too many spots in DH and first base. There's a logjam there. He's a right-handed hitter, so that's also a plus. There's just no spot for Morales. So if they're going to try to get another power bat, I don't hate Kendrys Morales, and they're also in win-now mode, so whatever. They're going to sign Nelson Cruz to no more than a three-year deal, so you're going to be stuck with him for the next 3 years. Last time we did that, guy named Adrian Beltre. So quit belly aching, Michael. Okay, that was my three sentences. Levi says, I'm about to see the Lego movie. Fox Business says it's anti-capitalist. Here's me and Benny. He took a great picture. And he says, linked his story. Yeah, Fox News hates it. But guys, Fox News isn't news. It's commentary. So take that with your stuff. I saw this post to the story on Slash Film, and this guy was like, I'd rather have my kids watching Fox News than The Daily Show because it's actual news. And I was like, dude, it's not news. It's all the same stuff. It's just in different spectrums. I mean, it's all.
What was that about? Hate rating?
Well, but it wasn't a hate rating article. It was on Slash Film. I don't know. I'm just saying that it's like, there's a difference between news and commentary. So we pick the commentary that we like and we watch it.
Right. There's very little actual reporting.
Yeah, on any of the cable news networks.
Yeah. Yeah.
The reporting would take 30 minutes. That's why your local news does it every night. And that's a stretch.
That's a pretty big stretch. I just flipped on. I was eating my Cheerios before going to work. I was like, I'll throw on the morning news. And I was like, this is some of the garbagest garbage. I wasn't hate watching either.
I know.
I was just like, this is just bad and weird, and I don't need it.
You have to watch local news at least once a month to remind you how terrible it is.
Yeah.
All right. Brandon says, pick one superpower for each other and one weakness. What would be hero, villain name, and who would win in a fight, and what would that movie be called? A lot here, Jesse. Should we save this for a topic?
No. Let's just hammer it out.
Okay. What's my superpower?
Your superpower is you can eat anything.
Good. That's actually pretty good, man. And what's my weakness?
Your weakness is that you are very emotionally insecure, and if anyone insults you, you get really sad.
I would think that a better weakness would be like indigestion. So I could,
well, that's a little too obvious.
Well, I could eat anything, but it hurts me if I eat it.
Well, it hurts you so when people like, are like, look at that idiot eating a suitcase.
I just take things really personally.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's my hero / villain name?
Oh, you are Mighty Mouth.
Perfect. And then, okay. And then, your superpower is, strategic advantage.
Oh, yeah.
You always have the strategic upper hand.
I like it.
You could see a scenario and you look at the scenario and it's like looking at numbers just adding up as a math equation and then you just pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
You know how to break a game.
And my weakness is?
Your weakness is the same as mine. You take things really personally.
Uh-huh. And my name would be?
Your name is Game Breaker.
Game Breaker.
Okay, so we got Mega Mouth versus Game Breaker.
So I think you're the hero?
I think we're both the hero.
Oh, okay.
It's
so
like the Avengers.
What's our Avengers name? What's our duo team name then?
It's got to be something about like emotionally weak.
How about the
paper thin team?
The paper thins.
The thin hides. The Thin Skins.
Thin Skins, yeah.
Love it. Thin Skins. That's the name of the movie.
There you go.
All right. James Patterson says, after listening to last week's episode in which Jesse talked about rooting harder for Russell Wilson because of his name, I devised a bracket, which is amazing, to help you gents determine the best Wilson in the world. Thought it would be pretty cool at least. And this has to be a topic.
Yeah, we'll get to that one next week because it's pretty impressive.
The Battle of the Wilsons is very impressive, James. Thank you so much, sir. And that will be a topic next week. Matt says, what is Canadian breakfast?
Uh-oh. I'll let you field this one.
Yeah, that's going to remain silent. I'm going
to
remain silent.
Oh, no. You got to say.
No,
it's so funny.
But this was a word that was devised at Levi, at a Rocky Mountain correspondent Levi Jetty's bachelor party in Vancouver, Canada, a Canadian breakfast. And then I wrote it up and I put it on Urban Dictionary. There are a lot of Canadian breakfasts on Urban Dictionary. But really? I'm going to leave it up to you, Matt, to go on Urban Dictionary and devise which one is ours.
Huh.
So anyway, Canadian breakfast. I like the era of mystery.
It's delicious.
Up next, we got our high school trombone player, fellow marching band mate, Brad Oman, who is awesome. He says, evening, gents, got a couple of months backlogged. I've been listening to these the past 2 weeks. First off, I got to say, it's been great to retrospectively listen to your analysis and predictions for the Seahawks. What a ride. So many times I found myself thinking, if they only knew what was coming up next. Secondly, I feel the need to get my foot in the door on these comic/graphic novels recommendations. I would definitely suggest you have a look at both Invincible and Lock and Key if you haven't already. The former centers around the son of a Superman-esque character, starts off very lighthearted, but shit eventually gets very real, and then you're hooked. The latter is a must for the Lovecraft inclined, chock full of ominous relics, dark overtones, and ancient evil, not to mention gorgeous artwork. All right, I'm out. Stay arrogant and get off my Bactrian camel. Bactrian camel.
Two humps.
Brad Oman, love you so much, buddy. Wish I could
have. Yeah, I'm gonna have to get back into reading some comics.
Yeah, dude, it makes the bus ride so much better. I'm almost all the way through the Walking Dead comics you loaned me.
Oh, really? Yeah. Really? I give you a fair bit.
It's like three rides and I'm done with a book.
Yeah, that makes sense.
JR
comic
says,
books you can kind of breeze through.
Yeah, you can breeze through them. JR says, hey guys, I know you are tired of the 81 version of Trivia Pursuit. But for those who might enjoy, you're tied to the 81 version of Trivial Pursuit. But for those who enjoy trivia, I recommend the iOS app QuizUp, hundreds of crowdsourced categories, including dozens of classic subgenres, science, history, literature, but also fun categories like web culture, beer, and most of the TV shows on the Bald Move Network. Baby, do it. And I actually downloaded it. It's kind of fun. It reminds me of the One versus, or whatever that game show was I tried out for.
One versus 100?
No, it was whatever other, I tried out for
maybe
this
it's
game
time
show.
For us to switch away from the Trivial Pursuit.
It might be. I downloaded the app, so we'll see what happens.
Cool.
Christian says, I think you guys should really explore the idea of Geek Seek, the nerd search you talked about a few episodes back. I, and I'm sure many other members of the PA Nation, have some semi-strange to all-out weird geek fields under our belts, and I'd be very interested to hear about them and to get to know other members of this community. You know, Christian, this one actually kind of spawned my interest a little bit because, you know, Jesse, you're going to be doing Man, Woman, Beer here pretty soon. Or what's it called?
Drunk and Married.
And I'm thinking Geek Seek might be a great Bald Move podcast where we...
That'd be pretty cool. We interview the community.
Yeah, scour our listeners for whatever you're geeky about and then just do like 20 minutes to a half hour on it. In the same vein of, you know, get off my running back. But
yeah, that'd be radical.
Geek stuff. Might be kind of fun, Christian. Thank you for that tidbit. And then right now, the last one, David says, have you guys tried or have heard anything about the Chives new line of beer? The Chives new line of beer, Jesse. Have you heard about this?
Was that the website, The Chive?
I'm guessing so. I'm Googling it right now.
I have a hard time believing that will be any good.
Yeah.
Also, you don't just put out a line of beer. That's not a thing.
So apparently they are collaborating with Red Hook.
Oh.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Which, honestly, dude, Red Hook's collaboration with the Dan Patrick Show, Audible Ale, it's my favorite Red Hook beer. And I know you don't like it, but I love it.
Okay. Moving on.
And I get it a lot. All right. Well, moving on. If you don't recommend that, Jesse, then what are you recommending this week?
I only got one this week. It's a movie that you can stream off Netflix if you're not Dennis Kleinbeck and you have Netflix streaming. It's one of my all-time favorite movies, and I just watched it. Like, I stayed up to like 1 a.m. watching it the other night because it's so good.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't stop watching it once I get into it. It's 3 hours long. It's The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. One of the best movies ever made.
Oh, my God. Yes. Sierra Leone.
Yeah. Sierra Leone's best work.
The definitive spaghetti western, man.
I saw that was on Netflix. It was like 10 o'clock. I was like, screw it. I hit play, popped on the headphones. I just slapped a stupid smile across my face, poured myself some gin, and enjoyed it.
Oh, legit. Oh, man. Yeah. I just got flashbacks. You know, Nosferatu is the full movie's available on YouTube. And one night I drank gin martinis and watched it. And I had a crazy hangover the next day.
Yeah, but I remember you telling me about this, and your gin martini was like just gin on ice.
Yeah, gin on ice, baby.
That is not a martini.
Yeah, top shelf gin. You don't need anything else in it.
That's called gin. That's not a martini.
It's a gin martini. It's gin and water.
Anyway. So what are your recommendations? That's all I got.
I feel like I kind of recommended everything because I want to recommend Hearthstone and I want to recommend Adventure Time and Lego Movie.
And gin on ice.
And gin on ice. That's kind of everything.
Cool.
Do you have another reco?
Nope, I do not.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening this week. We're happy we could put another hour and 40 minutes of the Personal Records podcast into your ear holes. And please keep in touch. And remember that wherever you go,
whatever you do,
please stay arrogant.
Arrogant.
All right, buddy.
All righty. Catch you later.
All right, man. Bye-bye.